Welcome everyone to All About Windows Phones, Insight 198, recording this on a Tuesday the 15th November 2016. I'm Steve Litchfield and Rafe is indisposed, or rather busy, so we have a very good stand-in, a first-timer for the podcast. We have Anthony Fear. Hi there.
Hi Steve, thanks for having me.
Yeah, tell us a bit about yourself and where you live in the world.
So I'm, well you may be able to tell from the accent, but I'm from beautiful Wales originally. But I now reside in Halifax in Nova Scotia, Atlantic Canada.
That's a bit of a jump. What are you doing over there?
So I'm full disclosure. I earn my money from Microsoft. I'm a Microsoft consultant for a local tech firm. So I spend most of my days building enterprise solutions for customers and then implementing them, in particular around Azure and Office 365.
Okay, and that's presumably why you have got in your possession and using as your main smartphone an HP Elite X3 at the moment.
It is. I was fortunate enough. My firm, they're a HP reseller, and HP kindly reached out and offered us some loaner devices. So I've been rocking an X3 for about 3 weeks now.
Okay, and before that, presumably you were in the Lumia camp.
I am absolutely a Microsoft fan. It's maybe not the trendiest phone, it's the one I've pinned my badge on, and I've been using Lumia's since the 900, primarily as my main phone, but my Windows Mobile goes back much further than that, back to when I was back in the UK, still on when they had slide out keyboards and scroll wheels and pens and things.
On the subject of new hardware, before we come to that X3 and your thoughts on the future and going forwards, a new device in North America at the moment is the Alcatel 4S with Windows 10. So let's face it, a brand new, effectively, manufacturer to the Windows phone, Windows 10 mobile world. Have you managed to see this, get your hands on it? Any prospects there?
No, so it's once again, it's not available in Canada, but I'm hoping if I can't get one of my colleagues down in the States to ship one up for me, then I may take a road trip and pop down and pick one up. But I'm quite keen to get my hands on that device.
Yes, well, me too, of course, but I'm in totally the wrong continent. If you do please think of us in terms of a quick, either an audio review or maybe a few bullet point notes and a few photos, and I'm sure I can
Absolutely.
Help you craft it. Yeah. There we are.
Will do.
Yep. So the HP Elite X3, you'll have seen my review coverage. I've had one on and off now for about 3 or 4 months with various retail. Well, first of all, the prototypes and then the retail models. Now the official review model with the anniversary update and the new firmware. But let's come to you. Let's disregard all my own opinions. I want to hear what you think of it, completely unbiased by what you read of my own thoughts. What's your personal opinion? Would you physically buy an Elite X3 with your own money at the moment? What are your thoughts?
So if you want the summary right now, no, I would not. And it's purely a price decision. If I could take you back to the day that I received the box and I actually unboxed the device. I mean, it is fabulously well built. It really is a premium device. They're the two things you notice when you take this device out of the box is how well made, how well constructed the device is. I mean, HP have really thought about everything with this device. And I hadn't appreciated quite how cheap and flimsy the 950 felt in comparison. But it is a big phone. It is a very big. I'm a big guy. I'm 6'4". So I like the bigger phones. For me, the 1520 was one of my favorite Windows devices.
I
saw this as a natural successor to it. So I was not put off by the size at all, but I think a lot of people will be. And then with some other little quibbles here and there, the device is just too expensive for me right now.
Yeah, the with the lap dock, I saw a figure of something like over $1,000, which is just crazy. And I think almost over £1,000, what with the Brexit pricing and so forth over here.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I rationalized it in my review by saying, look, this is a business device. If a company buys this or a few of them for its employees, then compared to the cost of the employee's salary and HR and overheads and all the rest, It doesn't actually matter whether the whole thing's £800 or £1,000. That's chicken feed in the grand scheme of things. But for an individual, an enthusiast, a professional like you or me, then that's a big, big jump. So I can't see many people necessarily going for the full caboodle as an individual. But I would argue, and that you said that the Elite X3 is too expensive for you personally, but you know, it's jolly close. If I was to buy my ultimate smartphone, certainly running Windows 10 Mobile, this would be very, very close. And it has amortized over, you know, 2 or 3 years of happy use. Does it actually matter whether it costs £600 or £500 or £400? It's a really high quality bit of kit.
Well, so the thing for me, you're absolutely right. I would be willing to pay that for a premium phone. But for me, the HP is still lacking in several areas. It still feels a little unfinished, a little unpolished.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And for me, $1,000 for a phone that's not quite ready is too much. And to the business argument, I'm not convinced by that either. The phone itself in Canada right now is $999, which, as you said, is not. It's about the same price as an iPhone, and businesses are willing to buy iPhones for their staff. But you add on to that the $799 lap dock, and then you add on HP Workspace, and this becomes suddenly an expensive piece of kit. I'd hoped that the Workspace subscription model may have subsidized the phone and brought it down. But to me, the cost of setting up HP Workspace, supporting these devices in the environment, most businesses are going to walk away. In my opinion. I mean, I hope I'm wrong, because I really think, and I hate to use the phrase, but I think it took courage for HP to make this device. you know, they really went out on a limb, and they've made a beautiful device. It is a fabulous device, but the intent is to replace three other devices, and I don't think it quite hits the ball out of the park on any one of those.
Yeah, if it was fully fledged at launch, completely rock solid, and all the components were just knocked out of the park, and the lap dock wasn't a kind of insane price, and the Workspace was kind of affordable, you can see that this might have worked. But I do worry that HP, with their corporate hat on, have put corporate pricing absolutely in line with their normal levels, and as such they've priced the whole thing out of the market from companies even trying this thing. I know the Workspace has a 90-day trial, which helps a lot, I think, and I suspect that you and the work you're doing is able to take advantage of that.
Absolutely, yeah, right, I did. But you know what, once we realized the limits on the hours that you can use Workspace, we actually used another a solution. So we were using a VDI environment that we were fortunate enough to have him in the organization, and then we just use a remote desktop into that, which actually I think gave us a little extra functionality, gave us a better frame rate. So it's doable, and I absolutely think that this is the future of I think Continuum is a fantastic technology and is the future of Windows Mobile. I would love to see either a slightly smaller device that is a great phone that can do Continuum, or I'd like to see maybe my ideal device would be a mini tablet with pen and Continuum, and I would carry a separate small phone for rare occasions when I need to make a phone call.
Yeah, I mean, the Elite X3 itself is a large phone, but as you say, you're a large chap, presumably with large hands, and it really isn't a problem carrying around something of phablet dimensions. I've mused several times on a Surface phone from Microsoft and what that would entail. And my vision for that would be something possibly even a fraction larger than the X3, with a folio case with QWERTY optional QWERTY keyboard built in by Bluetooth link, probably, and sort of next generation internals. And that would be a premium option. I can see a Surface phone coming out at, I don't know, £699 in the UK, whatever that works out in dollars. I say with that folio case with the keyboard as another $100 option or something. And with the option then of Continuum as well, and a premium business enthusiast professional device, not necessarily selling in big numbers to businesses as HP are trying to do, but the Microsoft Surface phone would certainly sell to people like you and I, professionals and enthusiasts. Do you think that's possible?
I hope so. I really do hope that is. I don't. from the things that Microsoft have said recently, I really don't see them coming out with another device that's the same in the market as anything currently. I think their Surface line is meant to be demonstration. And I do think that a tablet, mini tablet with cellular connectivity, with pen support and Continuum is the most likely route.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that would be my ideal device, if I'm honest. I would absolutely love that device. And that's where I guess I was a little disappointed with the X3, is it's not a great phone. It is a very, very good phone, don't get me wrong. But, you know, at 6 inches, it's a little too big to be a comfortable phone. It's a little too small to be a good mini tablet. It just doesn't quite do it for me in any one of those areas.
I can live with the size, as you can. And as I say, the larger it is, the less comfortable it is to hold, but also the more useful it is when you're trying to get anything done. For me, the disappointments are obviously the software, that there are still some glitches. When you try and launch the camera from the lock screen, you do end up with a crash 9 times out of 10. It's little things like that. The fact that there's an editorial coming along these lines, there are some bits which simply aren't there yet. For example, a system equalizer for the audio, which again is in all the Lumias, but it's not in the HP. It's just absolutely crazy. And then the fact that the camera has improved, but it's okay. It's produced some very nice arty photos for me, but it's not up to anywhere near the quality of the Lumias. The speakers are good, again, but they're nowhere near the quality of some of the competition in the front-firing speakers in the Android world. So HP have clearly put some compromises in terms of components, and yet put other components to the max. And for me, it doesn't quite feel like the ideal smartphone. But like you, I was just so impressed by the vision to produce something in 2016 running Windows 10 Mobile with this durable, this tough, and this adaptable. I just have to give HP some kudos and some credit.
Absolutely, yeah. I don't wish to downplay the device at all. Anyone who bought one would be very, very happy with it. It is a great device, and probably the best Windows 10 mobile device that you can get your hands on right now. But as you said, for me, I didn't run the insider's build on this device. I was just running production. But I experienced a lot more crashing, hanging than you did. It wasn't just the camera on the lock screen. I regularly ran into issues where from the lock screen it would either not detect the fingerprint or the iris scanner, and then would not pop up the keyboard for me to log in, so I would have to power the device off. It would crash regularly. Plugging it into the Lumia 950 dock, for example, would crash it regularly, just on a regular USB-C. So, and that for me is the I'm not paying $1,000 for a device that's doing that.
Yeah, I'm running the production firmware as well, bang up to date, but production, also the latest firmware. And I've had, it's been a very, very stable phone, apart from that camera thing. So I'm slightly curious as your experience. Those crashes were after the anniversary update, were they?
Yes, they were, yes.
That's just very strange. I mean, obviously, your device presumably is an American variant, and I'm just wondering whether there are some extra tweaks for the American firmware which are causing problems here, because I've got a UK device. But
very possible. Yeah. The other thing was the fingerprint reader. I was really keen to get a phone with a fingerprint reader, a Windows phone with a fingerprint reader. But I was super disappointed at how slow it is. I found that in my use, anyway, my testing, it was not significantly quicker than logging in with the iris scanner, and for a device with an 820 chip, it was not significantly quicker at logging in than my Lumia 950.
Yeah, I'm just doing a live test now, so that the X3 screen is off. I'm going to put my finger on the fingerprint scanner now, and instantly there's a vibration and recognition, but then you get the little 1 second animation saying hello Anthony or hello Steve, and before it even lets you into the interface. And what if they just remove that animation, then we could actually have a very fast scanner.
If that's what's slowing the device down, Microsoft absolutely has to get rid of that animation. It's terrible. It makes the device feel very sluggish.
No other fingerprint scanner implementation on any other phone in the entire world has a little hello Tony or whatever.
Exactly.
It just lets you in, which is what you want to happen.
Exactly. So as well as being in the wrong place, of course, putting it on the back of the device, I found I didn't use the fingerprint reader at all. I rely on the iris scanner. And so again, I come back to, unfortunately, it just wasn't that much better than something like a Lumia 950 that I can pick up for half the price right now.
Yeah, presumably you've got a 950 or 950 XL in a drawer or next to you.
I do. My 950 is now, I'm back to using that as my daily driver. I just prefer the size. The other thing is the double tap to wake on the X3. And again, I sound like I'm criticizing this device to pieces, but it's just these little niggles that you don't necessarily pick up when you use a device for a day or two. But with the double tap to wake, it actually uses the accelerometer instead of being a screen technology.
Yeah, yeah.
And for me, that device just goes off all the time, you know, particularly when I'm in the car. So I have a commute to work that's about an hour. You know, and every bump and and glitch in the road makes the screen either turn on or turn off. It's comical, but again, it's one of those where okay, that doesn't quite work. I'll turn that feature off. And again, you know, you're not using the fingerprint reader. You're not using the camera. Then you're not using double tap to wake. And it's like, no, sorry, HP, this is too expensive.
Yeah, you'd have thought that it wouldn't be that much work to implement a capacitive double tap unless there's something physically and hardware in the screen. I mean, I know we haven't got true glance screen, for example, here, so presumably exactly. there's no display memory, and maybe double tap using a capacitive solution does involve some hardware or some connection through to the touch screen from the operating system. So we don't really know under the hood, but you'd have thought it would be possible to do something along the lines of the double tap for the Lumias.
You would think maybe using a proximity sensor, because I find the thing wakes up in my pocket as well. I'm disappointed that just these little niggles haven't been ironed out yet. I'll continue testing the device, and hopefully these things will go away and the device will improve. You know, I'm a Surface Book owner, and you know, if you based your purchasing decision off those in the first few months, nobody would buy in those either.
Yeah, yeah. And HP, they are taking a long-term view. I mean, I've said in print several times, not only are we looking basically at Redstone 2 coming out to production for the Continuum to really mature. I mean, then that's March next year, so that's another 5 months. So, but you could argue with a charitable hat on that HP have got another 5 months to fix all these issues, and let's hope they don't take that long. But you could argue they're looking to 2017 and a big sales push for the Elite X3 system through 2017, in which case they have got time to fix lots of these issues. But I think I would agree with you that right now you've really got to be a very patient person to settle on the X3 as a main device.
Oh, yes, you would. But again, I think anybody that bought one of these devices would be happy. If you're in the market for a Windows phone and you've got the budget, then it is a great device.
Yeah, and the battery life I found is absolutely fantastic. Yeah,
it is. Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. A number of times I forgot to put it on charge overnight, or I didn't line it up quite right on my on the wireless charger. And I was able to use it a second day, no problem at all, without it dying. So yeah, battery life is outstanding. Again, for me, I would have preferred a slightly smaller phone, because when I'm plugging it into the Continuum dock, I don't need 2 day battery life. So yeah, smaller device with slightly less battery would have been an acceptable compromise for me too.
Yeah. What about the camera? I mentioned the imaging earlier. How have you found the camera?
I find it takes super photos when it takes a super photo. And by that I mean, it doesn't do very well in low light. I find that the focus hunts a lot when trying to take an image. So you know, I'm not really a serious photographer, so I just like to pull the phone out of my pocket, snap a shot, put it back, put it away again. I don't fiddle with manual controls, and for that I had to be a little more patient with the X3 while it. While it struggled to focus, and then eventually, you know, two or three photos in, it would take a great picture. Certainly good enough for me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they didn't announce in the specs that it's got phase detection autofocus, which of course is much faster way of focusing. But then there was a little asterisk which says coming soon. So basically, they in a firmware update, they're going to enable that. But we're now, what, 3 or 4 months into retail availability, and they still haven't sorted out that in firmware. So at some point, PDAF will be enabled. And who knows, maybe that will help focusing.
Yeah, well, hopefully. I wasn't aware of that, but that would certainly explain it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just moving on to a few other stories that we've covered over the last couple of weeks. Plenty of universal Windows platform apps appearing. I don't know whether you've got any particular opinions any of these. I'll fire a few names at you. OneCast, as a podcatcher, and there's the Audiobooked and Audiobook Listener. Either of those catch your imagination?
No, so the OneCast looks interesting. I settled on a podcasting app that is cross-platform. Just because of so many devices, it's nice to synchronize them. But I've always been on the lookout for a decent podcatcher on Windows 10 Mobile. And if we've got a UWP app, then I'm certainly going to take a look at it.
Which is the cross-platform one?
Pocket Casts.
Yeah, I keep trying that, and it does synchronize very well between Android and Windows Phone, but it's still basically a Windows Phone 8 application, and there are some graphical glitches, and there are some crashes, and there are some funnies, and every time that happens and the screen corrupts and I have to restart the app, I think, oh, blimey, I'll find a decent UWP app, but then again, you've got to start from scratch, and so it's a pain. But I was really quite impressed by OneCast, and basically the developers working flat out, and it seems like there are updates every week, and I love an application like that where you can actually watch it develop and help it help shape it with our comments in the story and direct to the developer. These applications, we can actually help shape how they turn out.
Yeah, absolutely. I've certainly sent feedback for Pocket Casts that I'm not saying it was my suggestion that was implemented, but I've certainly sent feedback that has been implemented pretty quickly later on. But I'm with you. It does crash quite a bit. The other thing I find maybe just be unique to my vehicle, but the timeline for audio always disappears. So I can never tell how far through an audio file or a podcast I am using Pocket Casts. But if I use the built-in podcasts app, it works just fine and doesn't crash.
Yeah. Well, there are several UWP podcatchers. There's OneCast, there's Bringcast, and there's also Grover Pro, all of which are actually pretty excellent. Now with
Grover Pro is good.
Yeah, I noted in several stories with the recent firmware updates, or not firmware, OS updates for both production and also the various insider rings, we've now got the what I call fixed media controls for basically everyone on Windows 10 Mobile. Now, I would say fixed has to have an asterisk next to it because it still doesn't always resume on the first tap on the pop-up controls, but it's much, much better than it was. And I would then say, therefore, I could use a Windows 10 Mobile device as my main phone again because that was just driving me mad before. But it does seem like my upvoted suggestion in the feedback hub, which thank you very much for all the people who upvoted it after my various complaints on the site. And I think Microsoft then took note and fixed it pretty damn sharpish. I presume it was an easy thing to fix. But I would say that the media playback, i.e. audio, is now fixed in Windows 10 Mobile and we can move on.
Yeah, no, that's just good news. They are making slow but steady progress on Windows 10 Mobile.
In terms of the Insider rings, what's your 950 on?
I'm on fast ring Insider, yep.
And how far do you think it's got to go before we can say that Redstone 2 is kind of done? I feel it's quite a way to go in terms of adding features and functions.
Yeah, there doesn't seem to be much new coming along, or certainly not very quickly. But it's still the OS of choice for me. It is behind some of the others, I personally don't struggle with the app gap, as people call it. I only use a couple of apps on any device on a daily basis or monthly basis, and I really don't struggle with the missing 9,000 fart apps or whatever else. There occasionally comes an app that I do miss, but. Windows 10 Mobile certainly feels like it needs a bit of optimization still and could do with a bit more love from Microsoft, and hopefully 2017 is the year.
Having said that, did you see my feature? I was looking at performance in one of my review parts between the HP Elite X3 running production Windows 10 Mobile anniversary update and the Lumia 950 XL running FastRing in Redstone 2, etc. Mm-hmm. And I would expect, just looking at the specifications, the X3 to be faster. I mean, it's got a much faster processor, faster GPU, and more RAM and so forth. Also, presumably hasn't got as much debug code because it's production software rather than Insider. And having said that, the 950 XL was faster, or appreciably faster, and all I can put that down to is and I don't think it's the X3's fault necessarily, although clearly HP have got some work to do in further optimizations and firmware. I think basically Microsoft are making progress at optimizing Windows 10 Mobile and streamlining the code and making the operating system interface and applications faster. And I was almost dumbfounded that the 950XL running this fairly early version of Redstone 2 was significantly faster than a faster device. So I think we can look forward to a faster experience going forwards.
I agree that the you're absolutely right, and that was one of the things disappointed me was the X3 was not appreciably faster. But you're right, it could be down to the 950 running the latest build. I admit I'm still sorely tempted to put the X3 on the fast build just for comparison reasons. But
yeah, the problem then, of we'll course, see. Is that HP then releases some kind of firmware update, and it says, and it doesn't give it to you because you're an unsupported build. So we want to kind of stay production. Yeah, yeah. Did you see that Windows 10 camera? And this is common to all devices, X3 or Lumias. I got a UI refresh the other day. It's now got a little on-screen zoom control, which is kind of cute. But, of course, enthusiasts like ourselves have known how to zoom in and zoom out for ages, so it's all rather unnecessary. But there's also a time-lapse option, which is rather nice. So it seems like not all the imaging smarts have deserted Microsoft.
No, and that's good because, for a while they had the lead there on imaging and they really didn't seem to take advantage of it. So it's nice to see they haven't given up completely.
Yeah, and I would assume that if they do produce a Surface phone or something like that, that they can simply reuse the existing chipset and the physical camera units from the 950XL, which I still think are world-beating. So there's no real reason to go beyond those. If you've got a faster GPU and faster processor driving them, then everything can only get faster without decreasing quality at all.
Absolutely, and hopefully that would keep the cost down as well.
Yeah. Are you a real shutterbug? Do you take many photos on your 950?
I'm not a crazy photographer, no. But I probably snap a couple per day, which is probably more than the average person. But I wouldn't consider myself a serious photographer.
Yeah. Do you have other devices running other operating systems?
I do. I have just about every device.
All right. Right, give us some highlights. What else are you kind of trialing on a day-to-day basis?
So S7 Edge. Is my secondary device that I'm running around with right now. I have a whole bunch of Lumias that I like to swap out. Now, it depends on what fashion I'm wearing that day as to which Lumia you pick up and walk out with. And of course, the 7 Plus.
Yeah. Oh, the iPhone 7 Plus. Yeah, I was very impressed by it. I mean, I don't even think that the price of the iPhone 7 Plus is prohibitive. If you want an iPhone, then it's the obvious choice to go for. It's large, it's glorious, it runs in landscape mode, it's got the zoom camera. It's just a wonderful piece of kit. Now, personally, for a number of reasons, I don't want to own an iPhone or use an iPhone, but that is purely a subjective thing. And an awful lot of people do want to own an iPhone, and that I would say that is indeed the one to get.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. But like you, I've got a similar a dislike for the device. So I don't want to like it, but I have to.
Yeah,
because it works. It it really is one of those pick up and work devices. Although I will say that the software has decreased in reliability quite considerably over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it just drives me mad when my wife and daughter, who both own iPhones, and they say, well, how can I get this content from here onto my phone or from my phone to somewhere else? And I say, well, you kind of can't. It's an iPhone. And the number of times my answer to any question they come up with is, well, you can't because it's an iPhone. It just drives me mad. With a Windows 10 mobile device, Windows phone, especially with an Android phone, which kind of mirrors the old Symbian phones in a way in terms of flexibility. You literally just plug them in and drag and drop content, and it's just everything's so easy. Whereas with the iPhone, everything has to be kind of siloed and synced in a particular idiosyncratic way. It just drives me absolutely bonkers. It would drive me insane within a week, I think, to use an iPhone day to day. But I can appreciate the hardware, and I can appreciate why people like them.
Yeah, they're a super, super popular device, I think, for those reasons. There is no complexity. It is what it is. But I found actually with Microsoft releasing a lot of their apps onto iOS that I can be just as productive on an iPhone as I can on a Windows 10 or even an Android.
Yeah, this is kind of turning into a bit of a meme, really, because Rafe Blanford, our regular editor-in-chief. He famously uses a Windows 10 mobile device and an iPhone in the other pocket. So must be an article here in terms of using the two devices in tandem. Take us forward, Den, very briefly before we go to the future. A Surface phone, do you think it's a dead cert for next spring, or is it just pie in the sky?
I honestly don't think it's going to be what we call a phone device. Having just seen the new Surface Studio, I think Microsoft or Panos is going to put his slant on this device. I think he's still rumored to be using the Surface Mini tablet that we never got to see, that got cancelled. So I wouldn't be surprised to see the Surface phone become a Surface Mini tablet. And for me, again, with Pen support, Continuum, I'm all in. Yeah. That's the device I'm waiting for.
Yeah, and of course, they've called this next version of Windows 10 Mobile, iRedstone 2, the official name is the Creator's Update. And it would kind of imply that if they produced a smartphone stroke, phablet stroke, however you want to call it, new category of device with the, quote, Creator's Update, that there will be something creative you can do with it. And I agree, that probably means it'll support a capacitive or inductive pen of some kind, and you can do, you know, annotations and scribbling and artwork on the go. And that could be quite exciting. That could be the extra functionality for sort of Redstone 2, and that we're kind of missing at the moment. At the moment, we're just seeing bug fixes and optimizations. But if there is a big jump in functionality on mobile, then that would make an awful lot of sense and give us some good clues as to where Microsoft's going with their hardware next year.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, the future certainly is around these sort of cloud HP workspace type solutions. And I think we need a bigger device in order to do that. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes.
Yeah. Did you ever try any of the budget Windows 10 mobile devices, the Lumia 550 and the 650?
So I have a 650. Actually, my wife just she got rid of her Android phone and she's picked up the 650. She's using that, which is, should be interesting to see how she gets on. I thought the 650 was a fabulous build device. It just could have done with a little more power. It was a little sluggish in places. The camera was good enough, I think. For me, that was the real business device, and that's where I can see a $200 phone like that fitting in with a $800 tablet with Continuum. You know, I can see carrying those two devices. The 650 I thought was fabulous. I have a 640 as well. Which actually in some ways is a little nicer than the 650. It feels a little more powerful, even though I think it was an earlier device. The good old 1520 is the one I come back to.
The 1520 was a bit of a classic device. I mean, we all raved about it back in the day, but looking back, just as I did with the Android world, when Google launched the Galaxy Nexus, a huge then 4.7-inch screen, people thought, they're crazy. No one's ever going to jump to that form factor. And of course, people did. And then the Samsung with the Galaxy Notes. Then Google came out with the Nexus 6, a 6-inch screen. And very quickly, Nokia followed with the Lumia 1520. Again, people thought, this is crazy. Who on earth will want a 6-inch screen phone? And now we're regularly seeing phones, mass market phones, released with 5.7, 5.9, 6-inch, even 6.3-inch phones recently. Mm-hmm. And people don't bat an eyelid. So I think that's definitely the way things are going. But the goalposts, as I said many times, have been moving. People do different things on these devices than they used to do 3-4 years ago. We now watch we're now productive in terms of office documents. We now watch videos and movies and media regularly, whereas we wouldn't have thought of watching a feature films on a 3-inch screen phone in 4 or 5 years ago, would we?
No, absolutely not. No, and somebody like my daughter's a perfect example of that, because she has a mini tablet, she has TV in a bedroom, but she does everything on the phone, right? From YouTube to Netflix to sending emails and browsing the web. Everything's done on the phone. The one thing I will say about the 1520, though, that Nokia got right, that HP perhaps slipped up on, is the shape of the device. The Elite is shaped more like an iPad mini, and I can't tell you how many times I nearly dropped the device, because it's kind of slippery. But the 1520 with the tapered edges kind of locks into your hand a lot more comfortably, although I could do without the pointy corners. But just another example of Nokia did know what they were doing. even back then.
Yeah, well, the X3 is rather smooth in the hand, although it is a kind of a tacky finish. I haven't managed to drop mine yet, although, of course, it is mil-spec approved, so if you did drop it, in theory, unless you dropped it straight on the screen, it should actually survive. But I mean, it's an interesting observation that about your daughter and her smartphone is her main computer. I think that has been the biggest shift in the industry over the last 3-4 years. And I think I would say the same. If I look at whichever phone's got my main SIM card in, and it's normally a phablet of some kind, again, that is my primary computer. All through the day, I'm checking that. I'm responding to things on that. I'm even watching media on that. I'm listening to media on that. And when I jump onto my main desktop computer or laptop computer, it's kind of to do a specific task, and then I'm back mobile, I'm back living my life, and the phone is my quote main computer as I go around my daily business.
Exactly, I agree. Yes, and the main reason for me when I jump onto a let's call it a proper device, when I jump onto a PC is typically because I need to type a lot. So I'm looking forward to developments in Cortana or speech recognition, where maybe I don't have to do that anymore. Because I think if I didn't have to type a significant amount on a physical keyboard, if I was able to do that with voice, then I may continue using the mobile device even more throughout my day.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to something next year, which is slightly larger than the X3. And I'm looking now at the X3 next to my standard desktop QWERTY keyboard, my main keyboard I type on. The Q to the P line is only about an inch longer than the length of the X3. So if you can imagine a Surface phone being half an inch or an inch longer than the X3, with a leather folio or fabric folio flap, and inside the flap is a membrane QWERTY keyboard, Q to P, with maybe some function keys and extra control keys around it, I think that could be doable. I don't think the keyboard would be much less than about 80% full size, maybe even 90%. I think it could be done. I'd love a chance at helping to design it and test it if anyone's listening, but I think there's a product there, and that's my hope for where Microsoft will go anyway.
Me too, absolutely. As I said, that would be my dream device. I also think there's a gap in the market right now for Android tablets don't seem to have caught the imagination quite as much as the iOS devices, and none of them support anything like Continuum. So I'd love to see Microsoft get in there first and come out with a killer device.
Yeah, Continuum is an amazing feature when it's working. And when I, for example, I've got the Microsoft Wireless Continuum adapter that just plugs into an HDMI port and ATV. And when I'm down with my dad in the West Country, I just plug this in, discreetly plug it into the back of his TV. And then with the flick of a switch, his TV just gets taken over by Windows 10. And all of a sudden, I'm into YouTube and applications and showing photos and videos and all sorts of, and looking things up on the web on his TV. And his jaw drops. How are you doing this? It never does this for me. And I have to kind of confess to a bit of tech magic. But yeah, the Continuum, whether it's wireless or wired via dock, there's tremendous possibilities. And I can't wait for Microsoft to improve it further.
Absolutely. You know, and in work now, we've actually enabled the Connect app through Windows 10 so that with a Continuum device, you can walk up to any Windows 10 PC. And yeah, that will instantly become your keyboard, mouse, and screen for the device, which is, it's mind-blowing. It's fabulous technology. It's a pity they're not making more of it right now.
Yeah, I agree. I was trying that the other day on my wife's laptop. I thought, well, this didn't used to work on my old Windows laptop. I'll try it on my wife's new Windows 10 laptop. And it worked perfectly first time. And I was using Continuum on her laptop display. So, yeah, there's another feature in there. I shall return to this theme, I think, on the main site. I think we're kind of out of time, Anthony. It's been lovely having you on. I hope you'll come again in the future.
Absolutely. Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
We'll get in touch in a couple of months' time. In the meantime, hopefully Mr. Rafe Blanford will be back next week. A goodbye from Anthony.
And goodbye from me.
Yeah, we'll catch you soon on the podcast. All About windowsphone.com. Thanks for listening.